chapter 3, verse 1. I trust everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and you are here today to burn off some of those calories. Amen. Amen. Either that or come out of the coma, whichever one it was. Amen. But we're glad you're here, and we're so thankful, man, for what God has done. We're entering into our Christmas season, and of course, next season, or next Sunday, we'll be starting all that. Pretty sure the church will look a little bit different, and we've got a lot of Christmas festivities. You can take a look at the monitors for all those. I'm not going to go through all that. There's a lot of plans coming up. Take a look on social media and on the screens around the building, around the campus, and there's lots of information there, all right? Christmas is coming. Everybody say amen. And we're going to have fun celebrating Christmas. Look at John 3 and 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see." "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Now, here's where I want you to focus. Look at this. See, the PA came on because this is where I want you to focus. Amen. Look at verse 8. The wind. Everybody say the wind. The wind blows where it wishes. The wind blows where it wishes. You can hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Everybody say the wind. Wind. Look at your neighbor and say the wind does what it wants to. Look at somebody else and say you can't stop the wind. The wind's going to happen whether you like it or not. The wind's going to blow whether you like it or not. But here's the thing. Everyone that's born of the Spirit is just like that. I want to preach to you about the resistance of the wind. The resistance of the wind. Would you lay your Bibles down, lift your hands to heaven, and let's ask the Lord to touch us and help us today. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for what you have dropped into my spirit. Now I pray, God, that you would craft it specifically and perfectly. Let it, Lord, be the words that you would speak to your people, Lord. I pray, God, that you take your servant, Lord, and you would explode, God, the finite words that you have in my mind into the very word that needs to be spoken in the mind of everybody under the sound of my voice. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. All over this house, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You cannot stop the wind. Now, I shouldn't have to convince anybody of that today. We live in Central Illinois. We live in a fine city. It's a wonderful city. I've had people ask, said, describe Bloomington to me. I say, you know, it's a pretty much a metro. Bloomington Normal is a metropolitan area in the middle of soybeans and corn. Can I get an amen? It's like that's the way you do it. If you go into Bloomington or you go into Normal, you go through fields and fields and fields and fields. And then all of a sudden, there is a city. And there's one thing, one characteristic about this city, about Central Illinois in general, that is true no matter what. I'm going to get lots of amens here. The wind is always blowing. Always. And I mean, it's a little bit better when you get in town. There's a few buildings to knock it down. But I can tell you at 2810... it's always blowing right here on this campus. Old Glory doesn't get a rest very often. Very rarely is that flag just sitting there. It's always waving and it's always blowing in the wind. And this is of no doubt why. The Bible tells us that it speaks of this wind and nature in Ecclesiastes 1 and 6 and says the wind goes towards the south and it turns towards the north and the whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. Even nature teaches us that wind, that prominent winds blow across the face of our globe continually. And whether you feel it or not, there's always wind that's happening in the earth everywhere. And it starts, it's not a different wind. It's the same wind. It's the same air. It's the same oxygen. It's the same gases that are moving and revolving around our planet. We've got lots of names for winds too. We call it a lot of different things. If we like it and we're hot, we call it a breeze. And if we really like it, we call it a gentle breeze. Anybody love a gentle breeze on a hot day? I mean, I look at all the smiles. Some of you, you're remembering some of the times. Your mind's going back where you're really hot and just this breeze showed up and it felt so good. But if it gets a little stronger, we'll call it a gale. It was a gale. You know, it just kind of jumped up a little bit. Had to go through a gale. If it gets a little bit worse, some might call it a squall. Maybe you've never heard of that one, but there's a squall. It's just this little storm of wind that comes up out of nowhere and affects the area and then just kind of, just drifts away. If it's really bad here in Illinois, we call it a tornado. That's right. That's right. Listen, tornado is nothing but wind, folks. I don't know if you know that or not. It's wind that picks up a lot of other stuff, but tornadoes are nothing but wind. Wind at 160 miles an hour. And if it gets even stronger than that, if you're on the coast, they call it typhoons, Mike. And they call it hurricanes. And they call it cyclones. Wind is powerful. Wind can move oceans of water, not just water, oceans of water in the form of currents. Oceans, billions upon billions of gallons of water, the wind can move up to 2 to 4 miles an hour. Somebody say powerful. Oh, listen, it can work for you or against you. If you need your clothes dry on the line, the wind can work for you. It'll dry your clothes in the summer, but today it'll chill you to the bone. It can work for or against you. It's strong. It's strong enough to carry ships across the ocean. And yet it's also strong enough to rip huge trees that have taken literally centuries of time to grow. One strong wind can literally, I've known it to rip trees from out of the ground. Anybody ever seen that? Even by its root. They say this is said of it from a scientific perspective, that wind does not have much substance. You cannot see it or hold it, but listen, I love this part. Now this is science, but you can feel its force. You can't put it in a box. You can't put a boundary around it, but you can't deny that it's not present. You can feel it as a gentle breeze or a tornado or a hurricane. You can't deny the presence of wind on this planet. And Jesus uses that example, uses that illustration to describe his spirit that moves upon the face of the soul of man. He said, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. He said, that's just like what happens to a soul that's born again of the Spirit. It's not something you can put your hands around. It's not something that you can put a boundary around. Not something that you can put in a box or sell on a shelf. But it is undeniably true that you cannot deny the feeling of the force and the observation of the impact of the Spirit of God on a man or a woman's soul. I'm here to tell you the wind blows wherever it wants to. I know there are some that say that wind stopped blowing back in the Bible times, but I've got bad news for those folks. I see about 100, 120 for people here today that could testify and say, I remember the day where my soul was dry, where my soul was barren, where there was hot. and selling it to everybody that walked in. Hey, before you go to service, $5, it's on special today. You can receive the Holy Ghost, and everybody just come in here and rejoice. But that's not how the Spirit works. You've got to take a free gift. You've got to allow the wind of God to blow over your life. Jesus told us two truths about that wind. He said, number one, it blows wherever it wants to. You can't direct it. You can't send it. You can't control it. The wind, everybody say, the wind blows where it wants to. It blows on the rich and it blows on the poor. It blows on every color, black, white, whatever. It blows brown. It blows on every color and every ethnicity, every group, every behavior. It blows on this church and it can blow on that church. It can blow in this city and it can blow in that city. It can blow on a God-fearing nation and God can send his Holy Ghost into a pagan nation because the wind blows wherever it wants to. It can blow on people walking toward him and it can blow on people walking away from him. You can't stop the wind. You can't keep the Holy Ghost from moving. It blows on the folks that are interested. And the folks that are not interested. And the folks that are up front and seeking. And the folks that are running and hiding. And in people's lives. You can see the joy that strengthens a life that is filled with it. You can observe the peace that persists through impossible circumstances. How do you get through that trial that you're walking through? I'll tell you how. I've had the wind blowing in my life. I don't restrict it. I just let it blow. You can see it in the love that goes beyond the convenient and the easy without any thresholds or without any criteria. You can see it in the passion that ignites people into service for others. Come on, somebody say the wind. You can see it in the change of values and character that can only come from God. You can see people that struggle with the same problems over and over and over again. But the Spirit of the Lord comes in. The wind blows in their life. And all of a sudden, the impossible becomes possible. You can see the faith that is reinforced by the truth and the experience that the wind brings. I'm just telling you, the wind's powerful. Yes, it is. Look at somebody say it's powerful. The Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Yeah. They were all in one accord, one place. They had been waiting. They had been waiting for a promise. Said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And that comforter is going to come. And they waited. Now, you could do some math. I've figured out they were at least probably there almost a week waiting and praying and seeking God for a comforter to come. And then finally, our verse 2 jumps up. Finally, our verse 2 of chapter 2 of Acts jumps up and is born. And suddenly there came a sound. Whew. It didn't start with fire. It didn't start with feeling. It started with the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. Because you cannot stop the wind. And there came a sound from heaven, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all, somebody say all. I love that word. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability to do so. The effects of the Holy Ghost got on when the wind started blowing, people started to be able to observe and see the effects of the wind. Do you believe me? I can prove it to you. The Bible said in 2, you skip down to verse 13. It said they started going out in the streets, and that there were some that were saying, what is this? Because we hear them speaking in our own tongues. But then he said others were mocking, saying, these people have gotten a hold of some good stuff. Yeah, that's right. They got some of Grandpa's whiskey from the cellar or something. because they were so different that they thought they were drunk. They were so countercultural that they thought there must be an explanation for that. But aren't you glad for a preacher that stood up and said, oh no, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We ain't that crazy. He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Here's what I think. I think what happened then can happen this morning. It can happen right now. If you've never been born of the Spirit, been filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to leave this place without the power of God, the wind of God blowing in your life. I say amen. We need this wind to blow. I thank God for it. Baptism is important. Somebody say it's important. It's important to be buried in Jesus' name. But after you've been buried in Jesus' name, it's important to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's important for the wind of God to blow into your heart and transform you into a new creature. We need it here today. We need it here tomorrow. We need it in my life. You need it in your life. It is here and it will be here because nobody can escape the Spirit. Did you hear me? All you on the, I'm going to pick on you, okay? All you in the cheap seats? You can't escape. You ever notice somebody that says, I don't want to get too close? I'm just going to sit in the back. You can't escape. I'll go one further. You can run to your car. And you still can't escape the Spirit. You can leave this service and God will show up at lunch. He'll show up in the morning because when the wind blows, it blows where it wants to and you can't stop it. And I'm here to tell you the wind has the intention to blow into your life today. Nobody can escape. Front to back. It follows you, your car, out to eat, to your house, to work. When God decides to blow, nothing can stop it. Now, while you cannot stop it from blowing, listen to me, there is a question of how you will respond to it. Somebody say, I can't stop it, but I control. Say, I control how I respond to it. I don't care how stubborn you are, the wind will keep blowing. I don't care how rebellious you are, the wind will keep blowing. I don't care how messed up you are, the wind will keep blowing. But here's the question. How are you going to respond to the wind that blows over your heart? Because I would argue you have complete control over how you respond to the Holy Ghost trying to work into your life. Now, I'm going to make it simple for you. I think there's only a few ways you can respond to the wind of God trying to blow in your life. You can, number one, submit to its influence and let it blow you to kingdom come if that's where it wants to blow you. Okay, that's number one. That's number one result. The second way you can respond is you can resist it. You can resist the Holy Ghost. You can resist the wind of God as strong as it blows, as capable as it is, as life-changing as it is. You can resist. Oh, yes, you can. I worked for State Farm for many, many years, and I can't remember what the job was. I didn't really have a job that really gave itself to this, but somehow I became a tour guide. I don't remember how it happened, but I would give tours of our data center. Now, this was way back. Technology is so much different, but at that time, all the data of State Farm resided in the data center right here in Bloomington. They built Corporate South for that, okay? And I would give tours of this data center. And here, I still remember the points. They built that because they knew we're putting this thing in Illinois. We're putting it right in the middle of central Illinois. You know what they have in Illinois once in a while? Tornadoes. You know what tornadoes can do to a building? They can devastate it. So you know what they did, Bishop? They built that data center to withstand a F5 tornado, which can have speeds of over 300 miles an hour. I still remember the facts. I remember, you know what? They built it to withstand that, and they put a roof on it. Then they built a second roof on top of the existing roof so that if the tornado was really bad, it'd tear off the existing roof and still have a roof. I mean, they guarded against the wind. They built a shelter against the wind. Now, we can understand their investment because a wind like that destroys and kills. But this wind I'm preaching about restores. And this wind I'm preaching about makes whole. And this wind I'm preaching about gives purpose. And it saves a house instead of tearing it down. Somebody say amen. It does not kill. It makes alive. It's not a storm of darkness, but it's a rush of light. Why would anybody build a shelter against that wind? Why would anybody resist something that with its power and its magnitude could blow into your life many times in a moment, but definitely over a season, many times in a moment, they'll walk and rush into your life and make such a life change that changes you forever. Come on. Somebody wave your hand and say, that happened to me. Yes. Why would you ever resist something like that? If you read further down in this chapter, I believe Jesus gives you the answer. In John 3:18, he said, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he that believeth, who does not believe, is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned, judged. But what was that judgment? Jesus said, I'll tell you what it was. That light has come into this world. But men, listen, love darkness more than light. Can I just be really brutally honest with you for a minute? If you resist the work of the Holy Ghost in your life, it's not because you were hurt. It's not because of people. It's not because of the thousands of excuses that you might have, the problems you're going through. It's because there is something about what you're in and how you're living that you love more than the freedom that this wind can bring you. And I'm here to convince you there's nothing you're holding on to that's worth the light and the life that the wind of the Holy Ghost can bring into your life. Because let's face it, there's part of you that says, I like this. I don't want to change. I don't want to give it up. I want these desires to be filled. I want this situation to persist because somehow in my flesh I figure out that there's something worth holding on to. Can I tell you that is the lie of hell that is being perpetuated in this world, that there's something in this world that's better than God. It's a lie, and the devil is a liar and the father of all of it. There's nothing better than the truth. There's nothing better than his word. There's nothing better. Come on, Sal. There's nothing better than his spirit in your life. But we resist the wind. And I'm trying to convince you today, you don't want to hunker down in this wind. You don't want to build the shelter of procrastination. You don't want to build a shelter to withstand this wind with your preconceived ideas about how God should work in your life. You don't want to build a shelter of excuses. And as strong as they may seem, you definitely don't want to build a shelter of hurt or bitterness. And rebellion and disobedience, God will blow over in a second. See, when you resist the wind of the Spirit, you miss what God is trying to shape in your life. Because he has a plan past the blowing of his wind. That wind is not a wind that just comes in a moment. I think sometimes people think that. That when I come to God, it's just going to be this moment, and God's going to change everything, and then we'll walk out and still have to deal, and somehow he makes it better. No. This wind is a perpetual wind. If you'll let it, come on, I need somebody to say amen right there. This wind keeps blowing after your personal day of Pentecost. After your day of coming to salvation, this wind starts blowing. When you get on your job and you can't figure out the next step, this wind starts blowing for you. When you can't figure out the circumstances that are facing you, that wind is still blowing. When your body is sick and diseased, there's still a wind of the Holy Ghost that's blowing in your life. It's not a fixing of the old, but a construction of the new. It's not an old house remodeled. It's a new house that is built, because when the wind blows, even the body is impacted. Anybody been healed? Anybody been healed? Come on, when that wind, even your body, it's not just your soul. It's not just salvation. Even your body is impacted by the wind of the Holy Ghost. And it works to shape us. It's trying to make you into something you're not yet. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, Romans 15, and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Doesn't that sound good? Abound, overflow in hope. How? Through the power? What's it say? The power of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit, of that wind blowing through your life. 2 Corinthians 3 says, we are being transformed into the same image, the image of Christ, from glory to glory, step by step, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, it is the will of God, His intention, to make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. When you resist the wind of God, you resist how He's trying to shape you. I wish things would be better. Oh, let the wind blow, and it will be better. I wish things could get brighter. Let the wind blow, and it will be brighter. I wish I had these things in my life. Then let the wind blow, and God will shape you the way He wants you. See, when you resist the wind, you miss what God's trying to shape in you now. And when you resist the wind of the Spirit, you limit yourself to only your potential for success. Yours. Okay? What you can do. When you resist what God can do, you adopt and limit yourself to what you can do. And how's that going for you? Man, it's quiet in here. A person's success, they say, is based on talents. This is the world or business. They say it's based on talents, ambition, and opportunity. Talents, ambition, and opportunity. That's what brings success. And some measure or some mixture of those. People that are very talented, they can find success in several areas. People that may not have as many talents, but they're ambitious, they can find some success. And people that don't have any ambition and don't have any talent, but they just have opportunity, they can find some success. The problem with that is all of those are varied and limited. And they're subject to only what I have within my arsenal. Let me give you, here's a little neat point about pastor. You talk about talents. I cannot roll my R's. I would try and you all would laugh, but I'm not going to do it. Because somebody will put it out there on Facebook. They'll clip it and it'll just be me doing that. I'm not going to share it. But just listen, I know I can't roll it. Now that doesn't matter a whole lot in a lot of instances until I want to learn Spanish. And rolling the R makes a difference in Spanish. What are you saying, Pastor? My talents limit me. There's days where I don't know about you, Phil, but I don't feel ambitious. How about you, Phil? Me either, right? There's days, just one or two in the year, right, where I don't feel ambitious. My drive isn't going to even get me breakfast made. I'm limited in my ambition. Opportunities, listen, God's given me a lot of them, but I've missed a lot of them too. There's been opportunities that weren't ever there. I prayed for them, asked for them, wished for them, but they weren't there. These are things that the world says brings you success, and they're all limited. Human abilities don't have a great track record for success in this world, let alone your spiritual life. Proverbs says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? James, the pastor, he preached to us and said, each person is tempted when he's drawn away of his own desires and enticed. And then when desire is done, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. I'm just telling you, the human side of things doesn't have a great track record for spiritual success. A life lived without the wind does not end well. And a life lived without the wind doesn't live well either. We need the wind to change us, to be like him. We need the Holy Ghost to blow on everybody in this sanctuary. We need it from the young to the old, to the right to the left, from the front to the back. We need the wind of God in this place today. I want you to stand with me right now. Peter would preach and say, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter preached to them and said, you missed the wind blowing. But the Bible said when they heard this, they were moved in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, what should we do? And Peter said, well, listen, you've got another chance. You can repent. You can turn around. Can I put it this way? You can demolish your shelter. You can destroy your resistance. You can unseat your rebellion. You can throw out your excuses. You can forget about your procrastination. Somebody say, turn around. That's what repenting is. It's getting rid of all the other choices. It's the life to one choice and the death to every other one. It's turning your face from all the things that you have held as valuable and turning your face to his face, with the only that holds any value. When they heard this, they said, we're moved. And Peter said, then you got to turn around. You've got to repent. And then he said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now listen, that's not my message today, but it's a good one. Because when you can go down in waters of baptism, like last week Crystal did, and you can come up and your sins are washed away, you've got a brand new slate. Everything you've ever done, listen, the name of Jesus over your life will do that for you. There's nothing better. There's nothing that feels more clean than coming up with the name of Jesus spoken over your life in baptism. Somebody clap your hands if you could tell. Somebody tell them with a hand clap. When you've been baptized in Jesus' name, there's no cleaner. But that's not it. That's not the end. He said, you want to see the kingdom of God? You got to be born of water. And, somebody say and. Spirit. And there'll be some that have tried to say, well, it just kind of happens. Well, all I can tell you is, and I don't have time to go through this Bible study today, but you read Acts 2, you read Acts 8, you read Acts 10, you read Acts 19. You'll find out in more and more and more examples that the Holy Ghost was a separate outpouring, a separate baptism than that. I would submit to you that what happened to them on the day of Pentecost needs to happen to every human being on the face of this planet, that the wind of God has got to blow into their heart, and when it does, the Bible said, you'll speak with another tongue that you've never learned in your life, and it will be a witness of the true salvation and move of God that's happened in you. Look at somebody right now and say, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Come on, tell them, say, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the wind to blow over us today. Oh, come on. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care if you've known the power of God. How many need it to fall fresh on you today? How many need a fresh breeze to flow? Come on, across your mind. Anybody hot and dusty from the struggles? Anybody hot and dusty from the cares of the world? Come on, let a fresh breeze of the Holy Ghost blow over your life today. Why don't you step out of your seat and come down to an altar of prayer? Come on, you're not going to be alone. There's dozens upon dozens that are coming here today. We're all going to come to the altar. We all need the wind to blow over us. Come on, come with your hands up. Come with your face toward heaven. Blow, Holy Ghost. Blow, O Spirit of God. Move over the face of this congregation. Baptize somebody newly with the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Baptize somebody with your Spirit today, Lord Jesus. We pray and we ask for it, God. We ask for your Spirit, Lord Jesus, to heal, to do and to craft into every life what your will is. Come on, let the Lord move your will out of the way. Let that wind blow your will out of the way. Blow that shelter down. Tear it down brick by brick. I'm going to submit myself to the impact of the wind. I'm going to let the Spirit do what it wants to do. There is nothing worth me giving up the power of the Holy Ghost working in my life. There is nothing in this world that is worth the value of my soul. Refresh me. Refresh me, Jesus. Touch me, Jesus. Come on, how long's it been? How long's it been since you felt the wind? How long's it been since you felt the wind? Felt that breeze refreshing you. Some of you need refresh today. You need the Holy Ghost to come in. Rejuvenate you. Come on, some of you for the first time, lift up your hands. The Holy Ghost is in this house. Come on, receive the Holy Ghost. Open up your heart to it. Shut down. Shut down everything that resists. Destroy everything that resists. Every excuse. Let it crumble in the presence at the feet of Jesus. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. Get passionate. Get passionate. They spilled out of that upper room and they didn't care. They wanted the power of the Holy Ghost to work in the midst of them. Blow! Come on, the wind's blowing where it wants. It's blowing where it wants. I've got no doubt in my mind the Holy Ghost is blowing. Here's what I want to know. Who's resisting? Tear your storm shelter down. Come on, the Holy Ghost is ministering. Come on, ministry team. Come on, the wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. The wind's blowing. Come on, pray for somebody. Come on, pray for somebody. Oh God, let the wind blow on them. Let the wind of your Spirit blow on them, God. You may even know what they need and know their life. Come on, pray strategically. Yes, Lord. Holy Ghost. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. You don't have to worry about who's looking at you. You don't have to worry about who's around you. Come on, you're fine. You're safe. You can experience the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, that's it. Come on, God will heal you of years and years of hurt with one breath from His mouth. Yes. Yes, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost work. Do what we cannot do. Do what words cannot do, Jesus. Let your Spirit flow through you. Holy Ghost, fall. Holy Ghost, fall. Holy Ghost, fall. Come on, that's it. Pray, pray, pray. This is an upper room. This is an upper room here today. Somebody wait on that promise to blow over you.